Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto all of you through our God and Father and our Lord Jesus Christ with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our text for today, our main text, I should put it that way, is the gospel lesson that was read a few moments ago. We'll use that and also the other lessons that you have printed out in your bulletin today and see how they tie in together. But this is from John, the 10th chapter, beginning at the 27th verse is the key verses I'd like for you to underline or look at, where Jesus says, "My sheep," notice that, "my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Well, my dear friends in Christ, this, as I announced earlier, is the fourth Sunday of Easter in our church calendar, but on our national calendar, it's also Mother's Day, to be recognized hopefully all over our nation. Now, the purpose of the USA calendar is to recognize all mothers, and I think we have a few here today, through whom our children are born into this world, and the nurture, care, education that they are given by their mothers. The early church fathers of the Christian church often referred to what they called the mother church. The term was used in a figurative sense to refer to the church's role in providing spiritual support, nurture, guidance, love through the ministry of word and sacrament. And so similarly, it's the way a mother, that as we know a mother, is there to physically nourish and care for her children. So that is the task of Mother Church in our Christian sense. The reformer Martin Luther, in his explanation of the third article of the Apostles' Creed, wrote this: "The Holy Spirit has his own church in the world, which is the mother that conceives and gives birth to every Christian through God's word. Through the word, he reveals and preaches, he illumines and enkindles hearts so that they understand, accept, cling to, and persevere in the word." That's a pretty strong statement. And all of the reformers and also the before the Reformation would speak in that way of Mother Church, as nourishes us with the word and sacrament so that we may continue to grow in our faith, hope, and love. So my topic for today, I've tried to tie these two things together. And you're probably wondering, how in the world is that going to happen? Well, I've called my topic this: Our Shepherding Mother Church. Our Shepherding Mother Church. That's to tie in with the words that Jesus says in today's gospel: "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." And also the words that he spoke before today's text in John 10:11, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I know my own, and my own know me." A while ago, we sang that beautiful hymn that's taken from the psalm that we speak of, where David in Psalm 23, it speaks of the Lord being his shepherd. And in that beautiful psalm that probably most of us know by memory, he also talks about what the shepherd's task is, to feed, to lead, to protect, and to nourish the flock. And that's where we tie in what the is with what the mother church is supposed to be doing. The care and nourishment the church through word and sacraments provides for the people who, by the Spirit's power, working through the word and through baptism and the sacraments, brings us to faith, and by that same word and sacrament keeps us in the faith. So the church has a mothering and shepherding task for all the sheep in this world who are born from above by baptism and nurtured by the gospel and the Lord's table. Our gospel, however, reveals that not everybody to whom that word comes responds in a positive way. The miracles that Jesus had, he showed that he was the Messiah by those, and he did many things in his sermons and so on, and the Jews who were there congregated were, we're supposed to take that in this way, they were those who were kind of opposed to Jesus and his ministry. And that's why he says to them, you do not believe because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them and the eternal life, and they shall never perish. Now, how do you, my dear Christian friends, know that you truly believe that Jesus is indeed for you a mothering shepherd and you one of his sheep? Paul somewhere, I believe it's in Corinthians, writes these words to his followers of that day. Examine yourselves to whether you are in the faith. And we know that the Bible again and again and through Jesus teaches us that we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in our Savior Jesus Christ. And if you believe and believe in him as your Savior and Lord, you know that you are one of his sheep. And we know how you became one of his sheep. It was through the sacrament of baptism, through the teaching of the church gave you in your youth, or all after your youth was over and you became a member of the church, you continued to hear sermons and messages that were to strengthen you as a sheep of our good shepherd, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the Word of God tells us that the desire of sincere milk of the Word of God is that we may grow thereby. And so that's one of the reasons why we have services at various times during the week, and especially on Sunday morning to remember the Lord's resurrection. That is where we go to get that sincere milk of the word to keep on building us up and up and up. So as we hear these words, we pause to question ourselves in our daily life. At least in America, we know that for our physical life, we need nourishment every day. I know probably most of you have at least two meals a day, don't you? Maybe some of you have what they call the three square meals a day. And maybe some of you know about having snacks in between. I see a lot of response to that. But God gives us that daily bread and that meat and potatoes that we have each day. And if we didn't have that, our bodies would be weakening. We would be walking around, all of us wobbly on our legs, and some of us in a fainting spell if we don't have some food to eat. But God has blessed us here in America, especially with an abundance of those things. Now, it may cost us a little more than it did when I was a youngster or even a young adult, but it's still there and we know that we need it. And How much daily nourishment are we receiving from the Word of God, which is able to build us up and keep us strong spiritually? That's the question to examine yourself with. Does your Bible, for example, gain a lot of dust because it's not being read? I remember my parents bought a very expensive Bible from a door-to-door salesman. You ever had any of those knocking on your doors? And it was a precious thing with all kinds of illustrations and so on, and they set it on the coffee table in the living room. And every now and then, I would hit my father and say, Dad, look, I see dust gathering on that Bible. And he would take that as the admonition that he did it. But, you know, that's the question. Does your Bible gain a lot of dust? And hopefully not, because it's being read. Is your assembling for worship with fellow Christians once a month, twice a month, twice a year? We have a number of members of the Lutheran Church that is kind of a regular pattern of how they are taking their spiritual life. But we need a lot of nourishment. We need these means of grace to strengthen us in our faith, especially in our trying times, and we need to keep on growing in our maturity in the Christian life and walk. Now, for this purpose, the Apostle Paul writes, Jesus has given some special gifts to the church. And he says in Ephesians chapter 4, his gifts were that some should be pastors and teachers to equip God's people, that's the church, for the work of ministry, it can be translated service, for the work of service, building up the body of Christ. So, and the first reading for this Sunday emphasizes this, if you want to go to it and look at it a minute. Paul is on the way to Jerusalem. He stops at Miletus and calls for the pastors of the Ephesian church that he has, in a way, fathered, to come to him and meet with him for encouragement. And these pastors all gather to him at Miletus, and he kind of gives them encouragement to continue on in their shepherding work, building up the body of Christ. And he sort of uses himself as an example of that. He says, when I was in your midst, I did not shrink. That's an interesting word for a translation. From declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Whatever he had learned from Christ, whatever he had learned in those Old Testament scriptures that he was absorbed with, he found Jesus Christ there. And he did not shrink from declaring to those congregations that he as a missionary had found it. And he says to his pastors there, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock. Notice the word flock. Over all the flock which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to feed the church of the Lord, which he obtained with his own blood. Very often as a district president, I had to deal with problems that some pastors had with their congregations who did not receive them very well. And they wouldn't mind calling my office and giving me all kinds of negative things about their pastor. And why don't you do something about it? You know, things like that. And they had a divine call from the Lord. As long as they were doing their duty of preaching and teaching and feeding people with the Word of God, they should have respected them for their office and helped encourage them in the work that they were doing. Most of our congregations do that very well. This congregation has always, as far as I can see, done it very well. There have been problems sometimes with pastors. But the Holy Spirit makes them, from this passage, you can underline it, overseers to feed the church. The word in Greek is episkopos, which also can be translated a bishop, a one who looks over the flock and takes care of the flock. So it's the Holy Spirit who's made them overseers. And in our church polity, we generally refer to them as pastors. And probably most of you know that that name, pastor, can be also translated from the Greek into the word shepherd. That's what pastors are. They are shepherds of the flock, feeding them with the word of God, feeding them with the sacraments that Christ has given. And so all of us, I encourage you to respect your pastors and all those who come in contact and be an encouragement to them. And I know you do that here, and that's wonderful. Now, our gospel makes us ask another question. How can I, as a Christian, remain steadfast in the faith and in Jesus as my Lord and Savior? Isn't there a chance that I might fall away? That's a tough lesson. That's our gospel lesson, makes us ask that question. And for our comfort, we return to today's gospel again, the reading. Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them." God knows each one of you personally. "And they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. And no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." That's a testimony of the unity of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They're all one. No one's going to snatch you. Now, some may stray from Mother Church, as for example in the parable of the prodigal son, which Jesus tells. But by repentance, the way leads back. And I assure you, none of Christ's sheep will be lost. That's our faithful good shepherd's task. And he will keep calling them if they are straying. He will keep calling them back until they reach home. Now, the home mentioned in today's second lesson from the book of Revelation, it talks of heaven and about the seal of our God written on the foreheads of all those who are there. Sealed and to be found among the redeemed of every tribe and of every nation. And it says there, "He who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd." There's that word again. "And he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." My dear friends in Christ, our faithful and good shepherd is with us. He is in the midst of the Mother Church, which like a mother feeds and leads through the word and sacraments, thus keeping us alive and going. And you mothers here, and you grandmothers with children, God has been blessing you through all these years too. And you have tried to communicate that good word to all your children, that God, our Lord Jesus Christ, is a faithful shepherd who will always guide and lead us continually to his word, that we may continue to be built up until we reach that home that is talked about. And notice in that reading, underline the word shepherd. It's a funny transition. Lamb, shepherd, in contrast. God bless you all. Good to be here with you. God bless you and your ministry here in this congregation and your pastor who serves you. God bless us all and help us to remain faithful unto death, that we might receive that crown of life. Amen and amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.